really hope we beat their ass today.
And I'm going to tell you what, the tortillas were flying.
This is the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. You're hearing the voice of Jeremy Gillen, and we are back. Back into the win column, back to another week of football, back on the road, and most importantly, back to interviewing the best of the best. This week, we're interviewing Craig Smoke. Welcome to the precipice of bowl eligibility, Craig. How are you doing? Absolutely. Well, I mean, I brought you on today to give us the insight past the box score, as we do here, for the 5-0 Baylor Bears. We'll kick it off pretty easy here. Baylor is off to its strongest start under the Matt Rhule era, notching strong wins against, in my opinion, Iowa State and Kansas State. How's the mood around the program ahead of this Texas Tech matchup?
I'm doing really good, Jeremy. I appreciate you having me on, and thanks so much for giving me a little bit of time, man.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I brought you on today to give us the insight past the box score, as we do here, for the 5-0 Baylor Bears. We'll kick it off pretty easy here. Baylor is off to its strongest start under the Matt Rhule era, notching strong wins against, in my opinion, Iowa State and Kansas State. How's the mood around the program ahead of this Texas Tech matchup?
I'll tell you, it's easily the highest, the liveliest, and the most excitable that for the fan base that is, that's been in 3 years, you know, basically since all hell broke loose, for lack of a better term. It is, you know, it's been a long road to getting back to a point where people have been overall, you could say, like, for the majority of the fan base, this excited. And it's just the kind of the perfect storm of the start, the way that they're playing, you know, the fact that they're winning with defense, which is something that a lot of people are having to kind of get used to a bit. But, you know, I put out a tweet the other day, Jeremy. It took them all the way up until the end of last year, not to rehash that last game for you guys, but it took to that last game for them to get bowl eligible. And here they are, they're about to be six games in, and they have a chance to do just that this weekend. It's homecoming. And yeah, it's just a lot of positives right now. A lot of people excited. And as somebody who's had to cover the highs, the first year I was in Waco was their first Big 12 championship, and got to cover that 2 years in a row through the whole saga and kind of the dark period here over the last 3 years to what it's turned into once again now with Matt Rhule. It's been quite the roller coaster, but right now things are pretty good in Waco and for Baylor fans out there.
Yeah, it's certainly a turnaround, like you said, from, you know, Big 12 championships through kind of the dark ages of the program. And then even under Rhule's first season, having a one-win season, that's hard to come back to. I appreciate Baylor fans and kind of like the community around that being faithful to Rhule. And it really epitomizes how a lot of college fan bases need to kind of stick with people that their program invests in, because oftentimes you'll have a lot of success down the road. Maybe not to this level, because Baylor's really, really hot right now, but certainly having faith in new hires. So we are experiencing that by and large as well. Right now, Baylor opens up as a 9-point favorite in Waco, which is unsurprising for a number of reasons, but a big boost for the Bears is their strong offensive game. So let's just kind of talk right into that. What kind of weapons do the Bears have, and, you know, who do the Red Raider fans need to pay attention to going into Saturday?
Well, I think, obviously, you know, start with Charlie Brewer. You start with QB1, and he got a little dinged up last week, but today Matt Rhule let it be known that he's going to be good to go. He's been cleared to play, so I think that was a huge sigh of relief for all the fans out there. So it's Charlie Brewer, and he's just been able to get better with time. You know, ideally he would have been a redshirt guy his freshman year, but they threw him to the fire after a few games, and he has not looked back since. He's just a tough, gritty leader, not the most outspoken guy, just kind of more of a, you know, just tough it out and sort of lead through that and lead by example type of a guy. But, you know, he's capable of hurting you with his feet. He's not a burner in that sense. He's not going to break off a, you know, a 60-yard run, but he'll get you a 15-yard run on occasion that moves the chains. He'll get the 7-yard runs on a, you know, third down and six that'll move the chains. And he's just extremely accurate, I think, is his best suit. You know, he's had some moments of inaccuracy, but for the most part, when he's clicking, he's really hard to stop, because he is very accurate with the football. Running back-wise, you know, I'd say for Baylor, the one thing offensively they've not been able to still get going to the level that they've wanted to is the running game. And you look at Matt Rhule's background at Temple, what he's doing right now is not what he was doing run at Temple. They love to run the football. They love to grind the clock, win time of possession, and just kind of impose their will on you. And because of a variety of factors, whether it be inexperience or an O-line that's just not quite up to snuff in the 3 years that he's been here, although it has improved, they've never just been really able to impose their will in the running game. But they do have some weapons back there. Jermichael Hasty had probably his best game as a Baylor Bear last weekend, not only because of the yardage, getting like 80-plus yards, but also he is the key when it comes to having an additional blocker back there to protect Charlie Brewer and also clear some holes as he did for John Lovett on Lovett's long touchdown run last year. Lovett is a guy who's capable of breaking off the long touchdown runs, the 50, 60-yard runs. He's done that on a few occasions. So he's very dynamic in that regard. And once he sees open field, there's not a lot of people that are going to catch up to him. And then there's Treston Ebner, kind of completing that running back trio. He's been dinged up the last couple of weeks. I have been a huge fan of his since they signed him, being an East Texas guy and watching him at Henderson. He's very dynamic, good with the ball, either, you know, via the handoff or catching it out of the backfield. But he's been hurt for the last couple of weeks and not quite up to 100%. He got a little bit more run last week, but you can tell he's just still not all the way to where he was previously. But if he's healthy, you know, that's three pretty good backs. So wide receivers, Denzel Mims is having the best year of his career. It's not even close. He earned a single digit in the offseason, which is, you know, a really big deal in Matt Rhule's programs to earn one of those nine jersey numbers. It means that you are doing everything right on, off the field, in practices, preparation, all of that. And he's looking like a guy who, you know, maybe we'll get a training camp invite or something just based on his size and speed, but it's now looking like a guy who you kind of start mentioning when talking about the future next year for him in the NFL draft. So he's been great. The guy that has really stood out, I think, above all the rest, Jeremy, is Tyquan Thornton, the true sophomore out of Florida. He came in as, you know, a 6'2", 6'3", I think, just beanpole, basically. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. He did not have a lot of weight on him. I remember saying that there's no way this young man plays as a true freshman. I don't care how fast he is, and he is super fast. I don't care how tall he is. He's got great height. He just didn't look like he would be ready to play college football, but they threw him out there. He made some plays. He's added some good weight, and I think if you've watched any Baylor games last week versus K-State, the Iowa State game where he had double-digit catches – and some key catches. He's really turned into a tremendous player for them, as has R.J. Snead coming off of a redshirt year at the number three wide receiver spot, if you will. So, I mean, I know that's a lot of names, but they use a lot of names. They have a lot of contributors. You've also got guys like Chris Platt, you know, the wily veteran speedster. He hasn't been as actively involved as those guys, but, yeah, the three running backs, Charlie, and those three wide receivers in particular, that pretty much sums up the Baylor offense.
Well, you're not overwhelming any Red Raider fans out there because we are all too familiar with the cycle of skill positions. There's no unfamiliarity with just having good talent. Not that there's not a superstar among them, but just everybody kind of offers something a little different to the dinner table. And when you're a good coach like Rhule, you're not going to pass up an opportunity to, you know, exploit a defense in a way that they're not prepared for. So it just makes sense. But there's certainly a lot to digest there. Texas Tech equivalently had a shockingly strong defensive performance against Oklahoma State. And I'm not to make comparisons. Spencer Sanders, I think I can unashamedly say, is a good quarterback. Now, last Saturday, he didn't really prove that. But he certainly has a high ceiling. And Charlie Brewer certainly a level above that. And then Chuba Hubbard, being an excellent running back, probably the best in the Big 12, certainly makes a case for one of the best in the NCAA. Not getting the certain kind of attention that he got quietly getting over 150 yards and a couple of touchdowns, but ultimately coming up short for Oklahoma State. What do you think about that? Did you get a chance to watch the game at all? Do you think this spells any trouble for the Bears this weekend?
Yeah, I got to watch a bit of it. I was very impressed with what Tech was able to do. You know, they came out in a heavyweight fight and punched them in the mouth early on. They took advantage of some big-time mistakes by Spencer Sanders, you know, knocking the ball loose or just being in position to pick off passes. I've seen so many dropped interceptions or near interceptions by Baylor players this year that I, anytime I see somebody actually intercept the football, I have to appreciate it regardless of what the throw was or what have you. So I thought Tech's defense was really feisty last week. It's clear that they're playing with a lot of confidence. And, you know, I looked at those sack numbers as well. You know, Charlie Brewer, the big concern with him is he can evade some pressure. But at the same time, this offensive line is so up and down in a way that he also takes a lot of hits every game. And that's a concern. It was a concern last week when he went out of the game in the third quarter, or late third quarter, because, you know, just had a big guy land on him and didn't know what was wrong. Thought maybe his ribs or a concussion or whatever. I think he just got, you know, dinged up a little bit having a big man land on him like that, knocked the wind out of him. But, you know, seeing Tech apply that pressure, seeing Tech, you know, create some turnovers, that's, you know, that's certainly something Baylor has to be mindful of, because those turnovers and what Tech was able to do early on, I mean, that set the table. So when Oklahoma State made their run, right, it was just a little bit too little too late. So I think what it also did, Jeremy, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it allowed Jet Duffy to really get a lot more comfortable and be able to play with a lead and, you know, have the ability to throw downfield and throw downfield confidently. So that's something that, you know, Baylor will look to avoid, not digging themselves a hole, not letting the Red Raiders jump out to an early lead and get too comfortable to where Jet Duffy just can kind of do his thing, because we all know how dangerous he can be. So, yeah, it's a bit of a concern. The protection's going to have to be good. It's going to have to be really good based on what I saw from Texas Tech. And that's a little bit of a concern when you lose Connor Galvin last week, who was their starting left tackle, the sophomore. He's going to be out for like the next month to a month and a half. And what that did to them last week was they had Casey Phillips, who was just, a freshman, and he was getting his first start ever at right tackle. Well, Connor Galvin goes down in the first series of the game, and all of a sudden Casey Phillips is having to play the opposite side in his first ever start. He's having to suddenly play left tackle. So, you know, that's something to look at as this Baylor offensive line just, you know, kind of, like I said again, has its ups and downs. That's certainly something to be mindful of for this Baylor offense.
Well, I think a fun exercise is putting yourself in the shoes of offensive coordinators, because we all love to think that we know better. I know you and I maybe not so much, but fans really love to just, you know, let them have it. So if you're Jeff Nixon or Glenn Thomas, how are you preparing for this revamped Texas Tech defense? I mean, especially in light of, like you said, offensive tackle Connor Galvin being out for the Bears.
Well, you're going to try to run the football. I mean, that's something that even – if it's not working, they're still going to try to do it over and over again. I think you do see what Chuba Hubbard did, and Baylor doesn't have a back as good as him, but the three of them together can be pretty good. They're going to try to run the football, but they can attack you in a variety of ways. You know, they were able to win the Iowa State game early on by hitting the deep throws, and that's something that Tech's going to have to be very mindful of. I don't know too much about the speed of their secondary, but Denzel Mims, Chris Platt, Tyquan Thornton, we're talking about track guys. I mean, straight up track guys. So they're going to try to beat you deep with those players and out physical you in a way as well. And then set up more of the underneath stuff. But in that Iowa State game, Iowa State eventually took away the deep stuff, but that led to Tyquan Thornton, you know, turning into a player in the middle of the field. So they're very adaptable, and they'll find holes, but they're going to try to run the football. They're going to try to throw it downfield. They don't give much action to their tight ends just because their tight ends are real inexperienced. So I think you're going to see a lot of what Baylor does, because they're a team that, yes, they're going to see what Tech does and try to play off that, but ultimately they're just going to try to do what they normally do. And so, yeah, a lot of deep balls, not a lot of deep balls, don't get me wrong. They're going to try to take a shot here and there, but ultimately just try to run the football and try to pick up, you know, little 15-yard passes here and there to Thornton and the rest of those guys that I mentioned. I think we're going to see a pretty similar game plan to, you know, kind of what they've been doing so far. And if they feel the need because of what Tech's doing defensively to switch that up, they certainly have the ability to do that. They have a multiple pro-style offense that can adapt pretty well to what defenses are throwing at them. So I'm very interested to see, like, how they go about it, especially if they struggle to find success early on.
Yeah, no surprise for me. I think this wide receiver core for Baylor is really strong, and it's going to be one of my favorite matchups in Saturday's game, mostly injuries aside. But all right, so alternatively, because devil's advocate, now put yourself in our defensive coordinator Keith Patterson's shoes. How do you prepare for this prolific Baylor offense? Like you said, it's not going to give up on the run and is going to try to wear them down, at least emotionally and with the momentum early on through the deep ball and just passing in general.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to be plenty physical. I mean, that's the one thing Baylor has turned into under Matt Rhule. And I know a lot of people say that, a lot of coaches say that, but you do hear opposing coaches and on occasion players say after they play Baylor, like, hey, that was a tough football. That was a physical football game. That is the Rhule mentality to a T. So I think you're going to try to just make sure you don't give up the big play, because the big play allows them to then set up a little bit more and do a little bit more with their offense. You know, every defense wants to put teams in third and long, but Baylor does find itself in third and long situations quite a bit because they haven't been able to really establish the run. So limit the run game, force them into longer downs and distances, and mostly apply some pressure to Charlie Brewer, because every game he's taken a few hits, sometimes gotten up slower than others, like last week. So, you know, it's kind of the key things that every defense looks to do. But really, just don't get burned over the top, because they can have one of those one-minute-long, 2-3-play drives like they did last week against K-State, as opposed to really trying to grind out the 7-8-minute drives running the football. They've never really proven to do that. So as long as you can take away the deep ball and not allow them that big chunk yardage, keep keep your man in front of you, because they are some receivers especially that can make you miss. You know, just limit the damage in that regard, because they are going to try to strike quickly. And that's where they've proven to find their most success. And obviously getting to the quarterback is everybody's goal. But, you know, with Charlie Brewer, I do think that is key, because if you let him settle into a routine, again, I go back to his accuracy, you let him get comfortable, then he can start picking you apart a bit in the middle of the field, towards the sidelines, and picking up those first downs. It then leads them into, hey, here's John Lovett all of a sudden. Hey, here's Treston Ebner all of a sudden. So to me, if you limit the big play for Baylor and you just try to keep them in front of you and make them work their way down the field, that's where you find the most success. But when you do allow somebody to beat you over the top, that's when they can suddenly turn into more of this up-tempo offense and really hurt you. And all of a sudden you look up and it's not quite what it was years ago. But it's still got some elements of that where they can quick strike you. And with the defense that they're playing, you get down a couple of touchdowns. It doesn't seem like much, and it's certainly not insurmountable, but it's a lot tougher to come back from a couple scores down against Baylor than it has been in years past.
Absolutely, and certainly worthwhile to note for Texas Tech fans, one of two things. One, Patterson has been prolific this year at limiting big plays, especially if we negate that Oklahoma game. But, you know, who aren't they going to run over? Maybe Baylor. And then secondly, if we have a Texas Tech defense that comes out like last week and limited Oklahoma State to something like 5 converted third downs and 20 attempts or something like that. So if Baylor has an equal problem on third and long situations, that's kind of where Tech has shown to be extremely prolific defensively. So that's another good matchup, and thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, I mean, and last week, if you go back and watch K-State, their big drives were the quick drives that I'm talking about. You know, they hit the big pass, and then it's a, you know, a handful of a play drive as opposed to 8, 9, 10 plays. It's minute, 10-second type drives that really got them on the board early against K-State. Even that, the dagger that they finally hit with John Lovett towards the end of the game, you know, that was a long run again. But they had opened it up so much that they were able to, you know, take advantage of the middle of that K-State defense. And then, quite frankly, Jeremy, they had worn them down. I mean, it was very clear, even if the score didn't indicate, it was only a couple of a score lead. I mean, that was very one-sided. By the late second half. So they are able to open some things up that way. And so, yeah, if you can limit the big play and make them have to grind their way out and work for it, it suddenly becomes a lot more difficult for this offense to really do what they do, because they don't have that established running game as we've talked about.
Right. So let's go ahead and switch to the other side of the ball for the Bears, something I'm incredibly excited to talk about. This is a team that's ranked 24th in total defense, holding teams to an average of 16 points. Craig, this is a strong upward trend for the Bears since putting Rhule at the helm. What and who is making Baylor so good this year?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been pretty amazing. You know, you hear all the talk during the offseason about how the defense is getting better and things like that, but you know, it's kind of hard to believe, especially seeing, you know, the last couple of years. I mean, they certainly made some strides last year, but if you watch the bowl game, for example, they gave up a lot of big plays. And it really, in all of their losses last year, the big plays were the dagger. And so it was a mission this offseason to start to limit the big plays. And they've been able to do that with pretty good success. Phil Snow, his defense is very complex. Again, it's more leaning towards that NFL style, and it does not click with guys right away in year number one. And I think the roster was just so topsy-turvy and so young when they first arrived, and just everything was so new and different from what they had been accustomed to, that it may have taken a little bit longer than it normally would. And last year, you still saw some growing pains. You still saw some guys not always knowing where they're supposed to be. But the major change they made this offseason, due in part to personnel, and also I think just taking some pointers from Iowa State and the success they've had on defense in the Big 12, was moving to a three-man front. And that has made a world of difference. It's allowed some guys some flexibility to play some different roles. It's put more speed out there on the field. And they have just been tremendous. I didn't expect, when they talked about, you know, getting to the quarterback and having this, you know, 40-sack type of year or whatever, that there was a chance in hell that was going to happen, pardon my language. But you know what? They've done it. They've done it with consistency, and they've been the reason, the biggest reason why. Not Charlie Brewer, not an explosive offense, big play offense. It's been the defense, the biggest reason why they are 5-0 at this moment. They've been fantastic. James Lynch is a future NFL guy, and I'll give you a stat. He has, I think it's 6 sacks on the year. He had 3 last weekend. He has, for his 2.5-year playing career now at this point, being a junior, he has 14.5 sacks. And I've made light of this sacks record before, but Sean Oakman has the career Baylor sacks record because, I mean, let's face it, they didn't have a ton of years of success, and definitely not on the defensive side outside of like your Mike Singletary's and Thomas Everett's and guys like that. But he's 3 away from the school record of tying that, and he's not even halfway through his junior year. So while it's not the biggest mark, that's just how productive he's been in a short amount of time. So he's a key. I mean, he's the player on defense that Tech has to watch out for. Bravion Roy at the nose has been at his best, easily having the best year of his career. He's a run stuffer. He's a plugger up in the middle. And he can also get to the quarterback a little bit himself, and he's a big dude now. On the opposite side, you've got James Lockhart, who has, again, had the best year of his career up until this point. Another guy that can beat you off the edge, and he's the one that made that big play, the strip sack that won them the game against Brock Purdy and Iowa State 2 weekends ago, when Iowa State had a chance to go down and win the game. So those three up front have been the key. There's some young guys behind them. Gabe Hall is one of those freshmen that has seen a lot of playing time behind Bravion Roy. But they've been able to manufacture more of a pass rush with 3 guys than they did in the last 2 years with 4-man fronts. So that's been really interesting to see. And then there's a lot of speed and athleticism in the linebacking group and the secondary. Blake Lynch, now comfortable 2 years into the system as a linebacker after playing offense his first couple of years here. Chris Miller suspended for the first half because of targeting last week. But back there at safety, he is an absolute missile that you can close your eyes and you know when Chris Miller's made a hit or when Chris Miller's on the tackle because you can hear the pads pop. And they've got really good young athletic corners in Tejada, Kalen Barnes, Jamison Houston, although Houston's a senior. So they're pretty complete, man. It's been pretty amazing to watch, but a lot of it's speed, and that pass rush up front has made a world of difference. And I think the biggest thing, Jeremy, is just knowing the defense and knowing what they're doing. They finally look like a team that knows what they're doing. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, the guy in the middle, the tried and true defender for them the last few years, and that's Clay Johnston, who is playing his tail off. And so really a lot of guys having career years, a lot of seniors, and a lot of speed and a lot of knowledge of what they're doing. So that's created quite the perfect storm for them on defense. And again, it's the biggest reason why they're 5-0 right now.
Yeah, Clay Johnson, certainly an elevated linebacker in this conference. The numbers speak for themselves. I just want to remind everybody who's listening, all the Texas Tech fans who don't keep up with Baylor either out of spite or just absolute ambiguity, this is a defense that's held, you know, Brock Purdy to 21 points, you know, Iowa State 21 points and winning. This is a team that kept Kansas State, that was on a record, you know, tirade with like 50 plus points per game, to 12 points. This is not a defense to take lightly. And like Craig has mentioned, we're all used to the narrative of, oh, you know, we're getting better, we're gelling together as a team, we've gotten bigger in the weight room. And, you know, even Texas Tech heard that a couple years ago under Kingsbury and nothing changed. This is a totally, you know, a new identity Baylor defense that is proving it on the board. I mean, averaging, keeping opponents to 16 points a game on average, that's just nuts. So I guess what we have to do next is talk about the possibility of weakness. So Jet Duffy certainly made for himself a game going for 440 yards, total yards, and five touchdowns, putting on an absolute clinic with no interceptions, no fumbles, certainly not the Jet Duffy narrative everybody's used to. Now, Craig, put yourself in defensive coordinator Phil Snow's shoes. I mean, how are you game planning against a Texas Tech offense that has, at the most inopportune time for Baylor, regained its mojo with a viable dual threat behind center?
Well, and I took another note is that Iowa State, those 21 points, they didn't even come until the very end of the third quarter. That's when the scoring started for them. It was a shutout up until that point, and that was pretty wild to watch. Yeah, then it completely got away from them, obviously, that they had to win at the end of the game. But, you know, the biggest thing to me is they faced some guys who, you know, Purdy I would put up there with Duffy, obviously. I'd put him above Duffy. Just, you know, for what he's done up until this point, but he's shown that he can be plenty athletic. And they were able to contain him. And I know the plan is, you know, pretty simple. You contain the quarterback who can beat you with his feet. Tech will look to do that with Charlie Brewer as well. They haven't run Charlie Brewer much this year. But I think the biggest thing is just to make Jet Duffy as uncomfortable as possible because he has a great arm. He's shown that he can throw the deep ball beautifully. But he also looked very comfortable in doing so last weekend from the bit that I was able to see. So I think it's just all about making his life as hectic as possible, making him have to think on his feet, and not allowing him to get out of the pocket and be the dangerous runner that he is. You know, that's they were able to limit Purdy in doing that. Skylar Thompson, K-State, kind of surprisingly didn't really try to run him too much, which was part of their just overall strategy. I was sort of curious about that, but you know, there's some running there for the taking, but, you know, UTSA also had a bit of a running quarterback. And so they've been able to make it their mission to not allow guys like that to really be able to use their feet and really apply a lot of pressure and make those guys uncomfortable. And so I think that's the same thing that you do with Jet Duffy. You keep him in front of you. You don't over pursue and then allow him to, you know, find a lane and use his speed and athleticism to beat you on a long run. And just make sure that he knows that you're there so that he cannot sit back in the pocket and be as comfortable as possible to hit those deep throws. Baylor has shown that they can on occasion give up the deep ball. But at the same time, they've been far, far better at limiting those types of plays this year as opposed to the last couple of years. So I think it comes down to Jet Duffy. I mean, I know Tech's got great receivers. I know they've got good backs as well. But Baylor has pretty effectively shut down just about every running game that they've seen so far. And also, you know, running quarterbacks, although none of them outside of Purdy to the level of Jet Duffy. So I think it's going to be similar to what we've seen from them. You know, key in on that. Key on the QB and make him make those types of throws like he was making last week to beat you. And if he's making those, then, you know, maybe you change things up a bit, but they're going to be in that backfield. They're going to be chasing after him. And they're going to be trying to make it as chaotic as possible for him to try to lull him or not lull him, but try to, you know, force him into maybe trying to fit a ball into tight coverage, maybe trying to run away with it and strip him and do those types of things. So, really, it boils down to that. I know that, you know, Dasher can win some matchups, but I just really like what Baylor's defense is doing. And I've given them plenty of criticism in the past, but for what we've seen through five games, I'm pretty confident in you know, most of the teams that they're going to be facing and most of the matchups. You know, we'll see when it comes to later on in the year. But this is going to be the biggest test for them, in my opinion, by far, just because of the receivers that Texas Tech, excuse me, had. So I didn't feel like Iowa State really had the types of weapons around Purdy that make them as dangerous as I think Texas Tech can be with all the different skill guys that they have. So really it comes down to Duffy for me. And if he can prove up to the challenge and he can break off some long runs and he can make those throws, then, you know, it's going to be a pretty trying test for the Baylor defense. And I think it is going to be a big test for the Baylor defense, but they're definitely going to be around him. And so it'll be interesting to see how he responds to that as well.
Yeah. Nobody's blaming you for having a little to critique about Baylor when they're 5-0 and doing the way that they are. There's only so much you can say, right, without beating a horse that isn't dead.
And here's the thing. I'm not a Baylor grad. I'm not, you know, some lifelong Bear fan. I just try to call it like I see it, you know. And so I would not be talking glowingly about their defense if I didn't think their defense was pretty good. But like I said, I know they're going to face starting this week, and not to dismiss Iowa State in any way, or even K-State really for that matter. But I know they still got OU. They've got Tech. They've got Texas. They've got teams like that ahead of them. So, you know, we'll see. And I think we'll learn a lot about this Baylor defense and how good they are. But they look like they're the real deal right now.
Well, I think you make a really good point about Jet Duffy being probably the key of this game for both sides. Somebody who at the beginning of the season, fourth string on our, you know, quarterback roster behind excellent players. Alan Bowman, a familiar name around the Big 12. Maverick McIver won the second string position. We had a Rice transfer come in, somehow get the third string position. We saw how a disaster that was in two drives. And then Duffy, somebody who's gone through a lot of adversity here, both on and off the field, sticking it out and, you know, questionably coming out of the field against Oklahoma State. And people are thinking, you know, here we go again. Like, it's going to be turnover Duffy. And goes out and surprises the nation, to be honest, with the numbers that he put up against Oklahoma State. Certainly not on the same level as Baylor defensively. But this is a guy who's, and you mentioned to it, or you mentioned it earlier, momentum is a key point for Texas Tech, especially offensively. That Duffy, once he gets in that rhythm, he becomes kind of the Tom Brady. But if you're able to break that rhythm, then he becomes the worst quarterback in the NFL, and I'll let you guys decide whoever that is. I have my own list, but I'm not getting in trouble for anybody's sake. But this is certainly a key point, and you made it, and it was just great.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not Patrick Mahomes that you're referring to, who I got to cover him when he was at White House when I was still back in East Texas. And so, I'm loving what I'm seeing from Patrick and just very happy for his family. And I know Red Raiders are very proud and rightfully so. But, you know, you say turnover prone, and that's when Jet Duffy first got to Tech. One of my coworkers, he used to do Mansfield games on the radio, and he's telling me about Jet Duffy. He's like, the one thing about him, and he was saying this like even a year and a half, 2 years ago, so the one thing about him is that he can be a little turnover prone. And as you said, that's kind of bared out if he gets a little uncomfortable. So, yeah, I go back to he got comfortable last week versus Oklahoma State, and you saw just the talent that he has. But we've also seen him a little uncomfortable, and then problems can happen. So, I mean, that to me is the key. Is it going to be the Jet Duffy that's going to wow you and hurt you bad, or is it going to be the Jet Duffy that you can get to and force into making some mistakes? And that's, to me, the big key this weekend.
Yep, here we go, Texas Tech fans. Time to find out if Duffy has truly matured. Okay, Craig, now based on what you said, we know how strong Baylor's defense is this year. Texas Tech was able to exploit the weak areas of Oklahoma State last week, like we covered. I mean, how do you keep that up this week if you're our offensive coordinator, David Yost, who's had some kind of polarizing opinions from the fan base this year, really sputtering against Oklahoma, but then coming out strong against Oklahoma State, utilizing Duffy and beating them in the manner that we did? How do you prepare for Baylor's defense?
Well, let me ask you this. Does Tech have a tight end that's a pass-catching type of tight end that's serviceable?
We have two.
Okay. Well, there's where I'd start. You know, Iowa State, when they got on their run in the fourth quarter, 2 weekends ago, I do think part of it, and Matt Rhule said as much in the post game, was guys probably got a little bit too comfortable with the 21-point lead that was suddenly 14, and then, yeah, it got really, really hairy there. But tight ends have proven to be a bit of kryptonite at times. You know, last weekend you look at K-State, and really their most effective play was to throw to Dalton Schoen over and over again. It's just been one of the areas where they haven't quite locked that down defensively, and of course that means that you're also doing really well as far as covering everybody else. And you know, Schoen, not a pure tight end by any means, but there's just been a guy here and there that's proven to, you know, find a weakness in that Baylor defense. And I think the tight end position is where you can exploit that weakness a little bit. You know, outside of that, you can try the deep ball, but this Baylor defense has been very good about being close to, I mean, they really should, Jeremy, have like double the interceptions they have right now. It's been amazing to watch how many interceptions either drop out of their hands or fall about a foot short from their outstretched hands. So they're going to be very active around the football. I think you can beat them over the top, but I don't know how often you can do it consistently. But this will be, I would think, by far the best receiving core they've gone up against. So, you know, you can do it, but I think you're going to have to run the football and kind of do what most offenses do. And when they look to go over the top, you know, beat you in the belly a little bit and then throw it over your head. But, you know, the tight end spot, I would look is certainly a way you could do that. Running the football, I mean, sure, but they've proven to be pretty good about stopping the run so far this year. K-State had a couple of moments, but in comparison to K-State the year prior, you know, they'd break open a run, and granted, as a much better running back, but they'd go for 50 last week, and it'd be for 15. So this has been a very sure tackling team, very active around the football, as I mentioned. So, yeah, I mean, I'd start off with tight end. I just don't see anybody really just running the football down their throat, and maybe a little bit of action, you know, in the middle of the field to the deep part of the field, but nobody's been able to really do that consistently against them, you know. And again, the biggest thing if you're David Yost is if that offensive line can protect Jet Duffy, you've given yourself a really good chance, because them getting in the backfield has been their bread and butter in many ways. Lots of tackles for loss when it's not sacked. So be strong up front, which I know is something you're trying to do every week, and just be sure-handed. You know, take advantage of the opportunities when you have them to get some good yardage, and look for those tight ends every once in a while.
Well, Craig, whenever we have all of our touchdowns from tight ends, then you and I will both know that David Yost personally listens to this podcast, and I will be reformatting everything I do with that added pressure. So in addition to X's and O's, what are your keys to the game this Saturday? You know, beyond Jet Duffy, beyond the audience, beyond the obvious, you know, what matchups are you really looking forward to, and how do you see things shaking out in Waco?
I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, Tyquan Thornton continue to evolve, as well as Denzel Mims in that wide receiving core. I mean, those two have been such a really good 1-2 punch for Baylor. That's definitely a couple of the guys that Tech has to key on and not let them beat them, because those two are pretty lethal at times. So I'm curious to see if those two, as well as guys like RJ Snead in that receiving core, can find the ability to continue with what they've been able to do so far. Also, can Baylor get a running game going in any way, shape, or form? I mean, based on what we saw last week, Chuba Hubbard was able to have a little bit of success. But, you know, Baylor, again, has not been able to really week in and week out establish a running game. If they can, that's very dangerous. But I'm looking at this offensive line because of the Connor Galvin injury and Casey Phillips having to step in as a redshirt freshman. They've had to shuffle things a little bit. So that'll obviously be key, especially against a Tech defense that had so much success in the backfield last week. So, yeah, the top two receivers for Baylor, and even throw R.J. Snead in there as well. Baylor's O-line, based on the Galvin injury. You know, how sharp is Charlie Brewer? You know, how does he shake off the getting dinged up from last weekend as well, and the pressure that he's going to face? He's proven pretty good against it, but at the same time, like I said at the beginning, you know, he's also taking a lot of lumps. So can they protect him and allow him to get a little bit comfortable and be able to pick the Tech defense apart with his very talented receivers and running backs? And this Baylor defense, I just think that, you know, the receivers versus Baylor secondary is going to be fun to see because of the talent that Tech has. But, you know, can they consistently apply pressure the way that they have through these first five games versus not only an offense like Tech's, but versus a very talented quarterback in Jet Duffy? So I'm very intrigued to see if they can continue on of getting a handful of sacks, you know, or close to a handful of sacks each and every week. And if they continue that again this week, then I mean, they really are onto something, because it's been a lot of fun to watch. So, you know, kind of the same things probably anybody would say, but I really do think those are a lot of the key areas. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to Baylor's receivers against Tech secondary and the Baylor defense versus Jed Duffy.
Well, Craig, I love to embrace the awkward suspense, but do you you feel confident in giving a prediction?
Yeah, sure, man. I'll give a predict. I'm not good about scores, so I'm not like Mr. 34-21 guy or anything like that.
That never shakes out anyways. You can just give me a Baylor or a Tech, and we can move on.
Yeah. And nobody ever owns up to it, right, whenever they do that. But, no, I'm going with Baylor in this game. It's homecoming. They've got a lot of momentum right now. Should be a fantastic crowd. I know there will be a lot of red and black there, as there always is in Waco for basketball games and whatnot. But I'm going to go Baylor. I don't think it's going to be an easy game by any means. But I will go with them right now, kind of riding the hot hand, even though Tech has a hot hand right now, too. I'm trusting in that defense to do what they've been doing. And I think Charlie Brewer, with the skill guys that he has, can make just enough plays to get the win. So I'll go with the Bears, but again, I expect a really good game on Saturday.
Yeah, certainly a lot of really cool lines to follow for this one. It's going to be an exciting game any way you shake it. Baylor looking for bowl eligibility. Texas Tech looking for a big road win to help them send kind of a great momentum going further into the conference. But that's going to do it for us today. If you've enjoyed this interview with Craig Smoke of ESPN Central Texas and Sikkim 365, I am tripped over myself, then be sure to like, subscribe, give us some comments. We love the feedback we're getting. Craig, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm at Craig Smoke, CraigSmoak, on Twitter, and that's pretty much it. And then Sikkim365.com, although I don't think your listeners really care about that too much. And yeah, that's about it for me. Wanted to say my sister's a Tech grad. I was out in Lubbock for a little while just with friends and always enjoyed my time out there, but she's a proud Red Raider, and I have a lot of respect for Tech, and I like what they're doing so far. So looking forward to a great atmosphere this weekend. And I know there's no love lost and things like that, but that's not how I work. So safe travels to all the people making their way from all over the state, and just hoping for a fun and entertaining game for everybody this weekend.
Absolutely. You can also, of course, find previous and future episodes of the Air Raid podcast on your favorite streaming medium. For Craig and myself, stay wrecked, people.